Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman, and we're the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space where open, honest, and transparent conversations are the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we're not holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica!
Hey girl, hey!
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you today?
You know what? I feel like, what is right with me today? I feel like because it's closer to the end of the week, a lot is right with me because the weekend is here. And what I've decided to do is I've been on go for the past several months. So I was like, I need 3 days of hibernation. And what I mean by that is doing absolutely, positively nothing. I ain't doing not one thing for the whole entire weekend, so I say. And then I'll just rise again on the third day. On the third day, she rose again. That's what I'm going to do. So that is what is right with me. It's penciling in those weekends where I'm not doing nothing for nobody, for me. I'm just going to lay down and watch my shows and not be responsible for nothing for 3 days. Hopefully. That's what's right with me. What about you?
I love that, friend, because you know what? I started doing that too, like penciling one weekend where I'm not doing anything, where I'm not bothered, leave me alone, get somebody else to do it. So I wholeheartedly support that message. What's right with me? Well, I'm excited. What's right with me is that my birthday is coming up, so I'm super excited about that. I got something super, super fun planned, so I'm excited to spend some quality time with my friends. We are renting a cabin, and we are going to have, like, the best girls weekend ever. And if you know me, we're gonna have matching pajamas, we're playing games, we're doing activities, we're making TikToks, we're doing all of the things. And then right after that is homecoming, and I'm so excited to show up and be fine as fuck and to just have fun with my friends. So that's what's right with me, because I'm actually like just looking forward to having like a lot of friend time and hanging out and getting out. And, you know, just getting out and having a good time. So, I'm just really excited about my birthday. Because anybody that knows me knows that I think my birthday is a holiday. I think it's a national holiday. And I usually and typically do the most. And I celebrate all month. So, Scorpio season is upon us. If you're anything other than a Scorpio, I don't want to hear about it. Take a seat. Take a seat, please. We do not care. My best Kanye voice, I do not care. But that's
what's right
with me, friend.
That's great. I'm excited too. It's gonna be fun. It's always a great time. You do have a party or a turn up every time, and it's always fun. So I can't wait.
I know. Okay, so before we get into today's episode, let's chat about the question of the day. And the question of the day, friend, is what gets you motivated?
Girl, okay, let me be positive, Patty. This is actually a really good question, because I was thinking about, like, honestly, what does get me motivated? Like, sometimes I'm not motivated at all. Well, I'll say probably 70% of the time I'm not motivated. Like, I'm just like, I don't feel like it. But what I'm learning, y'all, is, like, for example, if I don't feel motivated to work out today, okay, but I might go to my YouTube channel where I follow certain fitness people, and I'll watch like a reel of them doing workouts. And honestly, it does motivate me, like, okay, I need to get up and do my crunches or whatever. So sometimes in that instance, that'll motivate me. But I'm learning to not give in to my feelings, like, oh, I don't feel like it. To me, motivation is tied to feelings. And for me, it's more about, the real secret is being disciplined, if that makes sense. Because this, you have to have that discipline, because you will not always feel motivated. Like, I'm just so motivated to create. I'm just so motivated to clean my house. I'm just so motivated to start this business. Like, that'll go away in 3 days. Like, when that business ain't popping off like you wanted to, you no longer motivated. But it's about staying consistent. So I feel like what keeps me motivated, I don't know. But I feel like the secret to motivation is staying disciplined, if that makes any sense. So what about you? What keeps you motivated?
No, that makes perfect sense, Fran. I think what keeps me motivated is I always think about, like, what is the life that I want to live? And am I doing things that contribute to living that life or being that person? And to your point, it's so interesting. Lately, I have just been unmotivated and I haven't really been disciplined. Like, I haven't been motivated to work out. I haven't been motivated just to do things that I've built up a habit to do. And I've had to start making myself do them and be more disciplined about it. And so, to answer your question, what keeps me motivated is thinking about the life that I want to live a year from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. And then asking myself, am I getting 1% better every day? Am I implementing habits and discipline and things that get me closer to that goal? Am I contributing to that? And that motivates me to do what I need to do in any, you know, sector of my life.
Yes, I love that. So I wish I was motivated in dating. So let's talk about it in our dating and relationship segment. So today we're going to talk about society's narratives on Black women when it comes to dating. So Shelby, can you relate to any of these? I'm about to list some of them down. How do you feel about these certain narratives? Have you encountered any of these in your personal dating experiences? So for example, a narrative is Black women are too independent. Black women will hold you down. Black women settle. Black women are ride or dies. Black women are chosen last to marry. So these are some of those narratives. So let me know, can you relate? How do you feel? What's your experience?
I don't feel like necessarily, like, I feel like if I can relate to one, I feel like it's the one about being too independent. But I would like to pose the question is, like, or not the question, but just state that, like, I genuinely have no other choice. Like, I have to survive. I have to do what I need to do. I got to come up. You know, I got to depend on me. If nobody else got me, like, I got me. And I don't necessarily think that a lot of women necessarily want to be too independent. I think a lot of women are independent because they have to be and because they can't count on somebody to do what needs to be done. Like, if I tell you something and you don't do it, okay, you didn't do it, but I'm still gonna come behind you and do it. And I think a lot of times when women are too independent, in my opinion, that's just a signal that they don't trust their man to lead and they don't trust their man to do what they need to do. But that's just my opinion. I don't necessarily think that I can personally relate to some of these things, like, in my life that I do and operate in, but I think that a lot of times when you don't do what some men want you to do, or you don't act a certain way, or you don't, you know, follow all over men or whatever, men will put these narratives on you even if they're not true. And I think that a lot of times that's what the narrative comes from. And I think some women, some Black women do have these narratives and they can relate. But in my experience, a lot of times it's just like an excuse that a man uses. Like, when I don't act like how they want me to act, or if I don't do what they want me to do. Here's an example. So I was having a conversation with a young man that is no longer in the picture, so he will not be named. And we were having a conversation, and he was just telling me his perception of Black women in general. And to know me is to know is that I hate when people generalize, like, a group of people. But I generally hate when people generalize Black women, because Black women are so multifaceted, but there are so many different types of Black women. Like, every woman in the universe is different. So when you group us all together, you're basically saying that we're the same. But did you even take the time to get to know that person? Did you even think that, like, if you have all the negative stuff to say about that person, that probably means that you're not compatible and that's not your person? But that's a different story for a different day. And we were having a conversation, and so with my personality at this stage of my life, I'm a pretty straightforward person, but I'm the type of person that I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to see if the math is met. Like, I'm going to see if your words are matching your actions. And I found that a lot of times, like I said, in my experience, that men will put these narratives on you when they're trying to figure you out, when they're trying to pigeonhole you, or if you don't do what they want you to do. And so we got on this conversation, and he was just saying, like, his perception of why Black women are last to marry, and, you know, just all of these negative things, which was a red flag to me. But it was so interesting to me because, like, he really didn't have any validity in what he was saying, and those were just things that he thought, and those were his opinions and not necessarily facts. And so I know I'm rambling, but I just think it's so interesting, the narratives that Black women have on them. I think that a lot of times Black women are the way they are because they've had to survive and they've had to figure it out. And I think that we have to give ourselves as Black women grace because we're doing the best that we can. And a lot of people are out here just trying to survive and to do the best they can. Some are, you know, trying to break generational curses. They're trying to do better and they're trying to evolve. And I just think putting a narrative on Black women or anybody is just not something that's healthy. I think it all just comes down to people, when people put these narratives on there, like, it's okay, like, if you don't like somebody, you don't get along with them, just go be with somebody that agrees with what you're saying. But that's just kind of been my experience. That was a ramble, so what do you think?
Nah, I mean, obviously, as a Black woman, the number one narrative that I don't like is the too independent one. Because I just want to know, what choice do I have? You know, when I have to take care of everything on my own, how is it that it's looked at as a negative? Like, oh, well, you're too independent, so there's nothing I can do for you type of vibe. And I just don't like that, because I actually like being independent, and I've been independent for so long. And when that narrative is around, it's like, I've worked hard to get to this point of where I'm not codependent on anyone, but I can do for myself. And to me, that should be an attractive thing, because to me, there's a level of confidence there, right? I remember dating someone, and they told me, they were like, oh man, well, you're a lot. And I was like, what you mean? And he was like, I just mean that I know all the things that you bring to the table, and it's a lot. And I'm like, sir, what I'm hearing is that you don't bring enough. Cause it's like, don't try to downplay me being independent or having these things on my own that you don't have. You know what I mean? And it's not that I, you know, put it in someone's face that, oh, well, you don't have this, you don't have that. It's kind of like, I'm not about to dumb myself down or dim my light or whatever. If I'm independent, that's what it is. So another one, the Black women will hold you down. I feel like that is definitely a narrative that's out there. I can say that, yes, to a certain extent. I mean, we will be that one to hold you down. Okay. But I have been in a situation where I just could not hold this person down any longer, and I had to walk away. But when I walked away with absolutely nothing after investing years of that love and time and energy. So it's like, for Black women, we do hold you down, but then what do we get in return? And so that, yes, that's a narrative, but at the same time, there is some like truth to that. And then the other one that we have on here is like, Black women settle. I refuse to settle, y'all. I'm not doing it. You better come with something that adds to my life. You better come with a way of teaching me some new things, showing me a new side of the world, expanding my experiences, multiplying my life. Like, if this is what I can offer myself, you need to be able to meet that or more. And that's just what it is. So I don't like this narrative of Black women. Well, like what we have mentioned before about Tyler Perry making a comment about, well, if he can only pay the light bill and he loves you, that should be enough. It's not. So at this big age, it's not. So I feel like, as Black women, we don't need to have that narrative on us that we need to settle. We deserve everything and more. Also, Black women are ride or dies. That kind of goes along with like, we'll hold you down. I ain't dying. I refuse to die. I'm not dying for you. Right. So I'm not settling for struggle love. There's like this narrative of, well, you got to go through all of this with that man to get, you know, your prince. And I'm not doing that. I've done that before. Again, what has that got me? So I'm the struggle love, the ride or die. No, we need to stop doing that. And then the last one is Black women, the narrative of Black women being chosen last when it comes to marriage. And I think what that means is just like other races of women being chosen to be married by Black men versus Black women. So in my world, it does seem like that from my friend group. Like, all of us, we are complete catches. All of my friends, we beautiful, smart, intelligent. We ain't got no kids. We business owners. We love Jesus. None of us are married or in a relationship. It can't be us. It's a problem. It can't be us. So all of these narratives, I guess I can say I can relate to them just in my dating experiences, but I just want us to be able to like knock those narratives down. Like, I don't know how we can do that, but I definitely can relate to each and every one of these in my dating experiences, at least. All right, so let's keep it moving to the journey segment. So this is when Shelby and I will talk about business, all things melanin, and give you some tips, advice, or tricks on what we're doing to build our brand. So let's talk about using discernment in business and how to know when to take an opportunity or when to turn down the opportunity. So what are some of the criteria that we use to determine which opportunities are best for our brand?
Yeah, this is a good question because I feel like we've had to like learn this through trial and error. I think that like when we first got started, like when people would reach out to us or they would want to connect and they would want to do things, we'd be like, yeah, like, you know, let's do it, you know, and we'd be all gung-ho and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that like as we continue on our journey to building all things melanin, first of all, we both work 9 to 5. And we both have a lot going on. And so the discernment started to kick in, but that time started to get very slim. And so I think when you're trying to decide what opportunities to take in business, I think you have to ask yourself, like, what makes sense? And is this going to be mutually beneficial to you? Like, a lot of times when people reach out to you with partnerships or collaborations or to work with you, like, it's beneficial to them, right? Because they want to work with you. But I think the first question you have to ask is this beneficial to me? And if it is, how? Like, what are you going to get out of it? Like, are you going to, for instance, be put in front of their audience? Are they going to be able to give you some business tips? Are they going to be able to connect you with somebody in the industry that you should know or in your network? Like, make sure it's beneficial. Like, just don't be doing things through things. I think the other thing when it comes to doing things with people and your discernment is just saying, does it align with what you got going? Like, does it align with your why, with your purpose and your mission? And if it doesn't, then it's an automatic no. For instance, like Erica and I, you know, we want to inspire, you know, particularly women of color to live their best lives as we, through sharing our experiences in dating and relationships and building a business and in faith. So if somebody comes to us, this is a dramatic example, but if somebody comes to us and they want to talk about being an atheist, that's a no, because our discernment is going to be out of the roof. That's not aligned with us. And so I think when using your discernment, you have to see a business opportunity or a collaboration or whatever the case may be is aligned with your purpose and if it makes sense. And I think that you have to learn to trust your gut. Because something can still be beneficial, but still be bad business or still not be aligned with you. I think that you have to do your own research. I think that you have to follow your gut. And I think that you have to ask yourself if it makes sense for you. So those are the things that I just think of off the top of my bed when just thinking if something is aligned with us. But also Erica and I talk about everything. And so when something comes across our desk, we'll be like, you know, what do you think? And so for something to work, Erica and I both have to be all in and we both have to agree. Like if Erica agrees and I don't agree, it's a no. If I want to do it and she says no, it's a no. That's pretty much probably the most important thing. We both have to be all in and we both have to be on the same page about things, because sometimes Erica can see and think of things that I can't, and she can see the blind spots, and sometimes I can't. And I think just trusting one another and making those decisions and laying it all on the table and being okay with whatever the outcome is fine, because I genuinely believe that whatever is supposed to be for us is for us, and whatever is not supposed to be for us is not. We don't necessarily want to be a part of every opportunity, but we want to be a part of the opportunity that makes sense, that's mutually beneficial, but also allows us to network and grow our community and have connections that are really beneficial and, you know, and helpful in the long run. What do you think, friend? Like, what do you think are some criteria?
Yeah, definitely a lot of everything that you said, but we want to always go back to what our mission is. So does it align with your brand's mission? What is your business goals? Does it connect with the right audience? Will it cater to your audience? For example, we've had taken on opportunities to host panels. We were speakers at a podcast festival. We were speakers at a summit for creatives. So those things obviously align with our brand that we said yes to. But there are some people that have reached out to our brand that collaborate with us. For example, it was like a hair care product, but it was not for ethnic hair. So it's kind of like, why would we collaborate with a brand that's not for ethnic hair? And we have ethnic hair. So just simple, straightforward things like that that do not align, and that's okay. Or what if you were to take on that collaboration or that opportunity, does it cater to the audience you're trying to reach? That's really going to be your end goal or your defining factor is, is that going to bring on the audience that you want? So you want to make sure that it makes sense for you, that it makes sense for your brand, obviously, that it makes sense for your audience, because it's okay to say no. And like Shelby kind of mentioned earlier, when we're first starting out with a business or brand, we're so excited and like, yeah, we want to take on everything. We don't want to say no to anybody. But if it don't make sense and it don't align and it's not going where you're trying to take it, then it's okay to turn down those opportunities, because you don't want to confuse your audience. You don't want to be like, well, wait, you were just doing this and now you're doing this. And, you know, it just doesn't add up. So you want to just always stick to your mission. What is your goal for this brand or whatever it is that you're doing for this business? So that's just the only thing that I would add to that, is just making sure that it makes sense. That's really it. Does it make sense? So before we continue with the rest of the show, we just want to say thank you to each and every one of you, our Melanin fam, for listening in every week and rocking with us no matter what. So if you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this podcast with someone who you think would enjoy our show. So it'll help us grow our community and help find us. So thank y'all for your support and love. It doesn't go unnoticed. So now let's get right back into the show. We're headed into our mentor moment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter that was submitted to us, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I am in a season of my life where I am walking away from certain people in my life, friends, family, jobs, because I am realizing I have outgrown this season in my life and the people around me are not growing with me. I know in my heart I'm making the right decision for me to walk away from these certain people and environments. However, I find myself struggling with feeling guilty for choosing myself. I am usually a people pleaser and it has been freeing to be able to choose me. But when I think about how others might feel or think of me, I start to feel guilty. So how do I overcome this feeling even though I know I'm doing what's right for me?"
This is such a good question, because I feel like a lot of people deal with this at different points in their lives, and sometimes at multiple points of your life. I think it's perfectly normal in human nature to feel guilty. But I think at the end of the day, when you go in your room and you lay down in your bed, you know if you're being treated correctly. You know if you are not happy. And what I am inferring from what you're saying is that you are in a transition stage in your life. I genuinely believe that when God is getting ready to do something in your life, when he's getting ready to bless you, when he's getting ready to transition you into a new season, when he's getting ready to bless you in abundance, everybody can't coach you. Like, I genuinely believe that there are just certain people in your life that are only meant for certain seasons of your life. And if you don't let those things go, whether it's your friends, whether it's your family members, whether it's a man, whether it's a job, that God will make something so, and I stand 10 toes down on this, and Erica's heard me say this so many times, God will make something so dramatic happen to where you have to let it go and you have to deal with it. Because a lot of times we already know deep down in our gut that we needed to let that man go, or we needed to, you know, rectify that friendship and let that go. And I think that and I say this all the time too, I think that you're the most important person in your life, and you have to treat yourself as such. If you don't treat yourself like the most important person in your life and take care of yourself and fill yourself up, then nobody else is. And so I think that it's perfectly normal to feel guilty, but you can't dwell in the guilt. I think that's the sticky area. And I don't necessarily think that there's a way to stop feeling guilty, but I think maybe reminding yourself why those people can't be in your life anymore. And I think that sometimes we can feel so much peace and contentment when we let things and people go, but we can be sad and mourn what used to be. And so I encourage you and I challenge you to think about like where you want to be in life and where you want to go and what you want to accomplish. And 10 times out of 10, not even 9, 10 times out of 10, the people that are in your life could not go with you because they would have weighed you down or something dramatic would have happened to where they wouldn't have been able to support the call that's on your life. So I would encourage you to celebrate yourself. I would encourage you to surround yourself with people who love you, encourage you, and support you, and who have your back, and the people that are still in your life. I would encourage you to do things that bring you joy and happiness. I would encourage you to affirm yourself every single day, especially when you get these thoughts, start affirming yourself. I would encourage you to express gratitude for the point you are in your life. When negative things pop up, just start saying, I am grateful for, you know, I'm grateful for the roof over my head. Like, name 10 things that you're grateful for. I would encourage you to journal. I would encourage you to write a letter to yourself to where you want to be in the next couple of years, and then write out the habits that are going to get you there, and then attack that. And I think that if you focus on those things, the things that you can control, you'll start to feel less and less guilty over time. That's what I would do. That's what I have done. To your point, you know, I have had to let go of people, family members, friends, men, jobs that were not for me. And, you know, I mourn them. But when I look back, I know and I understand that, like, anything that was for me was always going to be for me and be in my life. And anything that is not, is not. And so I've just learned to cherish those memories and keep it pushing, because there's always a plan for your life. And you may not see it or understand it now, but in a couple of weeks or years or decades, you'll look back and you'll be like, this was the beginning of something great, and I would not have been able to get there if I hadn't shed that dead weight. So that's what I would say. What do you think, Fran?
Yeah. I love that advice. I think it's great that she was able to recognize that she's outgrown certain situations and certain people, because to me, that means that you've been doing some sort of inner work to grow. So I think it's bold. I think it's brave to be able to walk away by choosing yourself and choosing what you feel is healthy for you. It's hurtful. It's because it's a change, because it's unknown, but it's hard when you are the person that's always making everyone else happy, watering everyone else but you. But like I've always said, I feel like 100 times, you have to fill your own cup. And once you fill your cup and it starts overflowing, then that overflow goes into others. And a lot of times we don't do that. We try to pour from an empty glass. So some people, like you said, Shelby, some people cannot go to the next level or season. So what my advice to you would be, don't question it. Don't try to take them with you, because sometimes if you try to take them with you, not only will the Lord make something happen to where you can't, but if you take them with you and you realize your boat is sinking, it's because some people is poking holes in your boat. So, and I know that from personal experience. So if your friends or family are making you feel guilty, it's probably because they can only relate to the old version of you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you are a brand new version, they don't like that new version because they can't relate to it. So like I said, it may be very painful, but it definitely is necessary for you to do, for you to walk away in that season. And not to say that you won't come back together with those family or friends or job or whatever, but it may take some time for you to adjust right now, and just it'll take some time for you to release that feeling of guilt. But really, if you know that you're making the right decision for yourself, how can you go wrong? You know what I mean? So I would say I'm proud of you for standing up for yourself and doing what you need to do for you. I am an advocate for that. So if you have any questions out there that you want us to answer, please send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on Instagram at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement coming from Psalms 18:30. This is in the NIV version for all my saints. And it reads, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." So for me, I mean, this is straightforward, but I actually love the book of Psalms. It's so much in it that just praises God. But this knowing that his way is perfect, if you really think about it, if God knows the end from the beginning, if you know that he is eternal, time don't exist. So he knows what's happening in your life. A lot of the times we come up on a trial or tribulation and we're like, oh my gosh, what happened? It's not a surprise to God, because his way is perfect and he always has a plan. So whatever you're going through, doesn't matter what, if it's big or small, there's something in the word that is going to help you get through it. And I know that from personal experience. And so when you read the word, to me, that is when you are taking refuge in God and seeing what he says you should do, especially the book of Proverbs that offers so much wisdom. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what to say, read Proverbs or with Psalms. Psalms is like just a book of praises. And so that's just what I would want to share with you, whoever's listening, is that just know that God's way is perfect and get into his word and take refuge in him. What would you say, Shelby?
First of all, that was perfect, and I low-key don't have anything to add to that. So I'm probably just going to repeat what you said. Honestly, this just reminds me that God is perfect and he doesn't, you know, make any mistakes. And I think that this is a reminder that, like, if you are looking for, like, a word, or you are looking for confirmation or affirmation, or just kind of a sign of what to do, like, go to his word, because he's perfect and he's already laid it out for us. And if you can't understand, you know, the Bible, they have so many different versions of Bibles that you can go and find that literally will, like, spell it out like we talk. So I think that this is just a reminder that God is perfect, his word is perfect, and that's where we should seek answers from, and that's where we should, you know, seek, you know, refuge and help from, because that's what he's, you know, here for. He wants us to seek refuge in him and to follow him.
Amen. Well, in that note, bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you are driving, just sway with it. So God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that your way is perfect. Thank you that you know all things, the end from the beginning, even the things we may not understand. We thank you that you protect us and you shield us when we run to you. And thank you that you're always guiding us in a way that we should go when we trust you. For every person in listening to this podcast right now, we ask that you cover them daily with your love, your favor, your protection, and your grace. Thank you that we can lean on you, God. We pray that you show up and show out in each of our lives this week. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.